from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In comes a pitch. Ground ball into right center field. That's a hit. Two runs are in. And here comes Perez representing the tying run.
Back into Fesco in the morning. Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, Don, Bob Fesco.
Don Bob Fesco, huh?
Yeah, the Don.
Don Bob.
The Don Bob Fesco. See what I did there?
I like what you did there. That was funny. Made me laugh.
By the end of this Royals take, I'm going to give you an offer you can't refuse.
Oh, all right. I'm interested. I'm listening.
I want you to hear me out here for a second.
All right.
Got the cat in my arms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last night, boy, this series was exhausting.
Yeah.
But we got to be real, okay? I got to be real with you. When we did this show on Monday, we started talking about games matter.
Right.
We talked about it on Friday. Games matter. They get a little bit more crucial along the way.
No doubt. We're getting less and less of them. We're under 60 now to go in the season, right?
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
But when you're watching the Royals game, your scoreboard watching Minnesota, Boston, and Cleveland.
Oh, hell yes. And the Yankees now, because they're starting to slip up a little bit, too.
They just got swept by the Mets.
They kind of factor into the wild card race. Yeah, so you're watching. Right. I'm watching Baltimore as well, seeing what they're doing as they continue to not play white-hot baseball right now. But, you know, I mean, they're playing better than the Yankees are, but that's kind of a jockey at the top. So, yeah, there's a couple of teams that you're kind of paying attention to right now. And I love that fact, Dusty. I love the fact that I'm watching the Royals game and checking in on what everybody else is doing as well, because I think that that's what makes sports and baseball at this point in time fun. We haven't been able to do that in a decade.
Right. And I think that, you know, we're all kind of in the same boat here, or the same Royal Caribbean cruise at AWOL Nation, shout out, is not sailing perfectly after that first game where you thought, okay, they've won four in a row, they've been fired up, they've been thrown at their MVP. Manager gets ejected. How do they react?
Mm-hmm.
Arizona is a playoff team. They're defending National League champions. And you drop back-to-back games. And not something you necessarily like to see. Alec Marsh, obviously, was a little schizophrenic the way he was pitching. Struck out four in a row at one point. Gave up a three-run home run. Either way. Mm-hmm. Wasn't his best. Michael Wacha comes out last night. You're like, okay, here we go. And kind of from the jump, it looked like Wacha just didn't have it.
Right.
I know there's that definition of it with pitchers, like they did, or
he
the
kind of settled in, and you know, you had an opportunity to win the game,
and then the wheels sort of came off in the ninth inning.
Right,
and this is where you're always going to have your most criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Is can your guy go out there and hold it down?
Right,
and last night MacArthur was everything but that.
Everything but that last night. And those are the things, Dusty, that kind of drive me nuts in baseball. Like, I'm willing to give, you know, the benefit of the doubt and the free pass here, and it's regular season baseball there. Mm-hmm. But nothing in baseball bothers me more than when your team puts together eight great innings and the guy that's responsible to get the last three outs is unable to do that, because that's demoralizing for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. The Royals were winning that game up until the ninth inning. They fought back in that game. They were down, you know, 3-1 early, mm-hmm. you know, in that game. And they fought back. They were able to take the lead. They were doing some good things. Isbell with a big hit, you know, kind of, you know, opening it up and then coming home on the wild pitch or pass ball. However, they scored that and they got a 4-3 lead. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, I feel really good about this. And to play really good for eight innings and have that lead and then go to the ninth and getting, they always say the last three outs are the hardest to get. But those are the type of games for me that are more demoralizing. You lose a game 10-4 and it's out of hand, fine, whatever. You hide that and you move on to the next one. Losing a game like that, those are always the toughest ones to recover from. And now with them having an off day today, you got to noodle on that one until you get back to the ballpark on Friday to take on the Chicago Cubs. And now the importance of sweeping a bad Chicago baseball team really, really, really matters, because you lost 2 out of 3 to the Diamondbacks. And like you said, we're under 60 games to go in the season, dude. All of these games now matter. You're not getting another one. So each game that you don't take advantage of is one less opportunity that you get to take advantage of. And blowing that game last night, that's one that sucks for me. Like, I'll be honest with you, that's not going to sit well for me for the next 24 hours until we get back out there against the Cubs. That was a bad loss last night for the Royals.
Right. And look, I understand there was the strike him out, throw him out, double play that, you know, got missed.
Right.
Okay, but you can't let that derail you.
No, you can't.
I understand that's a huge momentum shift, and I understand how that works in sports, but as a closer, you've got to be stone cold, rock hard plums.
Right, right.
And my offer to you is, because we've seen it already with Will Smith's role, let's, you know, whatever. Try somebody else. He went to Q's office, said, it ain't me, man. Like, let's, and he brought up the other yesterday thing. He's like, Will Smith does a lot of things that a lot of people don't know. That's just magic in the clubhouse.
Right, exactly.
And
he's kind of the Jeremy Guthrie of this team. Remember back in, what was it, 14 or 15, when Guthrie wasn't pitching well and fans wanted to cut Guthrie. And I remember talking to a member of the organization at that time, and I said, fans want to cut Guthrie. They said, okay, you go tell him that he's cut, and then you address the team. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? They go, you don't understand the impact that Jeremy Guthrie has on this clubhouse. It's a living, breathing organism down there, and you remove one piece of that and it has a disruption factor that will cause shockwaves and ruin people's, you know, kind of mental state and all. As we get more and more about mental health, we understand how certain players and certain people provide certain things that you need. And so Will Smith, to me, is in that category. You may not like what he did at the beginning part of the season, but nobody's doubting that that's a leader that's kind of a glue guy that holds all this kind of stuff together inside that locker room.
And this wasn't the first time that we've seen MacArthur kind of come in and not really give you that feeling. And I still don't have that feeling. I know he had this the two saves in one day, first time since Greg Holland did it in 2013. Great name to be compared with.
Right.
But we look at the pitching lines, and somebody on the text line says Waka was fine. I mean, it was not a great start. He had 4 2/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, 3 earned, 1 strike out, no walks.
That's okay. It kept you in a game.
It's average, if not a little bit below. But Zerpa, no hits. Long, no hits. Hunter Harvey, no hits.
Right.
No runs. No nothing. One strikeout between all of them. Enters MacArthur. 4 hits, 5 runs, 5 earned. Not good.
Not good.
And my offer to you is, you went and got Hunter Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want to put him in the mix, see if it works out, make sure the chemistry with the bullpen and the situation is fine. Or do you do what I've been advocating for since he came off the injured list? Why don't we try Chris Bubich? I feel like he's got a little bit more stuff, if we're giving pitchers the terminology. He's been in high leverage situations. And here's the other backside of it. We know that he's on a pitch count. We know that he's on an innings limit because they want to ease him into the role. Well, if he's only got to pitch one inning and you hope it's less than 12 pitches or 15 pitches, that's a perfect role for Bubich.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe when you get to these situations, room for error is minute.
Right.
And this sort of stuff can happen if you do want to win the division. because you went from four games out to six.
Yeah.
Now, let's paint with a little bit more brighter colors here. You're still in the third spot for the wild card. You have a game lead over Boston.
Right.
You're only one behind Minnesota in the division. You're only one behind Minnesota in the wild card. They're the second spot. So not severely wounded.
No, not at all.
But this is a bad nightmare. And this can give you sort of the feeling like, do you have the trust if you have a one-run lead in a game that you must have to MacArthur? And I think if you polled everybody, you would find out it's probably 50-50. I think there's some people that would still believe in MacArthur being your guy in the ninth. But you're at a situation where you're already on house money, but you want to be a playoff team.
Right.
Why don't you try to get it right and throw somebody out there like Bubic in the ninth to see how he reacts? Because, again, I go back. He's on an innings limit. Mm-hmm. He's on a pitch clock. They're not going to use him a whole lot. But if they use him for one inning and one inning only, and he can be that guy who I think does have closer-type stuff, because we've seen it with Wade Davis. Now, Bubic was a great starter, got injured, and maybe that next year he comes back and does it.
Right.
But you remember when Zach Greinke was a closer? And they're like, hey, get your mind right. You're on an inning. Just try to throw one inning. Then he became a starter again. I'm not saying that this is the end of Bubic's starting role, but maybe see what he can do in a high-leverage situation. Give MacArthur a couple days, and then when you play the Cubs on Friday and the game's 3-1 in the ninth, here comes Chris Bubic. And what happens if he mows him down?
Yeah, then you got yourself maybe another guy that you could look at in that closer role. The beauty and the whatever the ugly would be is that you don't really truly have a closer on this team. I think Hunter Harvey, with what you gave up to go acquire him, and that's a guy that you identify, probably should slide over into that role. He may be your most reliable reliever right now, you know, on this roster. And the most reliable guy should be the guy that's closing out games. I think what you're going to hear from the Royals, and I've been around a long enough time to know what they're going to say. They're going to want to get MacArthur back out there as soon as they possibly can to get that guy success, because they're going to tell you they're going to need MacArthur down the stretch. And I guarantee you, in the last 59, 58 games, whatever's left on the schedule, we're going to need James MacArthur to come up big for this organization. So they're going to get him back out there and get him success as soon as they possibly can. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't try different things in the ninth inning as well. Maybe you do try Chris Bubic. Maybe you do try Harvey. Maybe you do decide to go out there and make a trade in the next, I don't know, 6 days or so to acquire another arm in the back of the bullpen. But you know, what it all boils down to is guys eventually have to go out there and do their job. And MacArthur didn't do his job last night. And so they've got to find a way to not lose games like that in the ninth inning. Because when your team fights for eight innings and scratches back and claws back and fights back, and you overcame a mid-pitching performance, you know, by Waka last night, You've got to find a way to win that game, and your closer can't blow that game, because that is a demoralizing loss. And I know, because of Q's, you know, the way that he operates and his even keelness and all that, it's not going to have a huge effect on this team going forward, but it makes it speeds up the importance now of the rest of the season, because that was a game you should have had last night. And when you have those games that you should have had, it's hard to kind of make those up. So they got to take care of business now against the White Sox, or against the Cubs, and then you get the White Sox. So you've got six games coming up against the bottom feeders of the world. You've got to go out there and take care of business. 5 of 6 at worst, I think, against the Chicago teams coming up.
610 Sports Radio, KCSB, Kansas City, WDA. HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Station.
I put a poll on Twitter this morning, and I want to get, you know, the text line can weigh in, or just go to Twitter and vote at Bob Fesco on Twitter. If you could only make one move right now for this organization, and you could acquire either a leadoff hitter or a bullpen arm, what are you adding? Right now, Dusty, 67.8% of the votes say bullpen arm for this organization, and it's probably one of those, like, in the moment, like, oh my God, we need to add a bullpen arm because of what we saw last night. But I don't know how many times I sit there in the first inning and go, boy, like that shortstop last night for Arizona on the first, you know, play of the game, essentially saved a run. That it was going to be 1-0 if our leadoff hitter gets on, right? Arizona shortstop makes a nice play, saves the play. And you got Bobby Witt coming up. Odds are he's going to drive in whoever that leadoff hitter is for this organization. And so I look at it, I go, yeah, they need some help in the bullpen right now, but how different is that game if the leadoff hitter gets on? Because you have Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi coming up, and if you get the leadoff hitter on, whomever it is, you've got yourself a great opportunity to take an early 1-0 lead. And behind what this pitching staff has done for the better part of the season, having a nice 1-0 lead is pretty special. Or you could even make it even bigger than than 1-0 lead. Leadoff hitter gets on, steals second. Bobby singles, leadoff hitter scores. Bobby steals second. You got a guy on second, a 1-0 lead. You're four pitches in and there's still nobody out. Like, that's how this team kind of works right now. And so I think it's imperative to get somebody that can consistently get on base ahead of Bobby Witt.
There's a lot of things that come with, and I'm team leadoff hitter. You know, I want, because again, the bullpen wasn't bad last night. Again,
right.
We read you the numbers, like Zerpa and Harvey and the other one I can't think of right now, but they didn't give up a hit. They didn't give up a run. It was MacArthur that blew it in the ninth. And even if he doesn't give up the five runs, if he gives up three and right. blows a save, the Royals win because they rallied in the ninth. Mm-hmm. They really did. And that's the thing is like, but the problem is there's two different reasons why I want a leadoff hitter. One is that you nailed it on the head, which is, Bobby Witt Jr., again, goes 3-for-4 last night. The guy's on a different world now, hitting 344.
344, brother. 344.
Let me remind you, it is July 25th.
And he also had a walk involved last night, so he was on base four times last night.
The guy's just, I mean, even Henry Lake texts me, he goes, dude, this guy's insane. I said, he's in another world. He's an alien. And that's one key point. The other key point is, what is your strongest attribute right now? Starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into the top of the second, and let's say the leadoff hitter gets on more often than they are right now with Frazier, or Hampson, or Garcia, whoever it is. A lot of people are rooting for the quiet hero and Kyle Isbell.
Kyle Isbell to be the leadoff hitter. Why not try it, though? Why not, right?
At this point, anything works.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it being one out. Bobby Witt Jr. comes up, hits a double.
Right.
Even if he doesn't knock the guy in. Pasquantino last night, 3-for-4. I don't know if you guys have been watching Royals baseball. I'm sure a lot of you have. Vinny Pasquantino's heating up.
He's now about 260 now. He's hitting 258. He was in the 240s a couple of days ago. He is really heating up right now.
If I can be a tiny bit critical, I'd like to see the power numbers go up, maybe lift the ball a little bit more, but hey, get your swing back, which he's doing, and he's starting to hit. So even if Bobby Witt Jr. gets a hit, knocks the guy to third, Bobby's on first, and we have first and third, you have Vinny up.
Vinny's up.
I like the possibilities of having a 1-0 lead going into the top of the second, and then you get to be like, okay, Cole, or okay, Seth, or Brady, or Michael, or even Alec. Now you've got at least a one-run lead going into the second inning. The show is yours, and your strongest part is your starting pitching, and if you can give them more oftentimes a lead than not, instead of what we've seen a lot this year, guy in leadoff spot gets out. Bobby Witt Jr. hits a double. Then it's like, what happens next? Now, the other thing that killed him last night, Sal Perez, first two at-bats, grounds out.
Yeah, grounds out in the double play both times. That stunk. That sucks, yeah, that's hard, right? But you got to have your veteran guy come through in those moments. But I'm not going to sit here and criticize Salvi, right?
Yeah, but that's ipso facto.
Right.
You still had a chance to win that game. I get it. It was MacArthur. But you have guys that I think you could put in that role. You went and got Hunter Harvey. You've got Chris Bubich.
Mm-hmm.
Let one of those guys become your closer or your holder, right? Let that be your 8-9.
Right.
I trust in those guys, at least right now. Small sample size in the bullpen for Bubich, but I've seen him in two high leverage situations where I trust that. It's the leadoff hitter. Set the table.
Yeah, you got to set the table right
set
now.
The event and
what about Massey as your leadoff hitter? Like, I really like Michael Massey, right?
Yeah.
He's hitting close to 260 as well. You know, he gets on base a lot. I feel like Michael Massey for me is one of those guys, and Ryan was describing him more as a glue guy last night as well. But I feel like every time I see Michael Massey, he's doing something productive to help the team, right?
Mm.
Whether it's going out there and making a play, or whether it's getting on base or driving in a run, he's got great control of his bat. He's a major league hitter. Why not move him to the top of the lineup? Because I think it is, and we'll talk more about it as we kind of roll along this morning about going out and acquiring somebody. As the days tick off, it's going to be more and more difficult to go out there and find somebody to trade with because the asking price and the acquisition price is going to be very high. Now, for me, I don't care what the acquisition price is. We talked about it yesterday in the 499 players that were traded since 2015 that were minor leaguers, 6.1% became all-stars or close to all-stars for those trade deadline deals. I'm trading anybody in this organization right now in the minor leagues. I really don't care because you want to win at the big league level. But organizations don't think that way, right?
Right.
Blake Mitchell's not getting traded, right? Like you
number one prospect,
right? But and they feel like he can take over for Salvi sooner rather than later behind the plate
young
if they ever need
too.
To. Yeah, so like a guy like that, they're probably not going to trade. But for me, I'm just not a buyer in prospects, especially when you see the numbers according to Baseball America. 6.1% of the 499 traded became all stars or close to all stars in the big leagues. It's not worth it keeping your prospects. So maybe you do, quote unquote, overpay in your mind of giving up prospects.
Yeah.
But if you can make your big league ball club better and get into the playoffs, doesn't that cure everything? Because at the end of the day, we don't remember prospects. Nobody remembers the prospects. You remember winning championships and having success. And that's what your minor league system is for. If you have a minor league system, it's either to graduate some players to the big leagues or hype your guys up and foist them on another organization for a proven major leaguer.
And look, I'm all about, you know, giving Kyle Isbell a try at that leadoff spot. But at some point, you have to be done trying and start doing.
Sure.
Because you're under, what, close to under 60 games left in the season. You're still a wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lose faith in that. Don't lose hope in that. You're done it all year. You're, again, you're on house money from the town.
Right.
You wanted to be competitive until the end of July. We've got, what, 6 days till the end of July? You're still there. It's not like the end of the world. But it's things like these in games that measure up to this sort of level where what leaves a bad taste in my mouth is that they came out here, they tried to throw at your best player in the first game, caused a scuffle at home plate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they're going to come back the next night. The bats just weren't there.
Right.
Maybe there was a little bit of a hangover. Then the third game, last night, you're up.
You had the game won.
Here's your guy.
Had the game won.
Yeah, the call didn't go your way. Hate to be this guy. Sometimes they don't.
I'm not a blame ref, blame umpire type of guy. There are other opportunities for you to win games. Right. And if you're going to blame the umpire for the call last night, how about blaming Salvador Perez for grounding into two inning ending double plays to start the game, right? There's always something on the field that happens that I can turn to and look at. We want to blame the umpire. Just get the outs, man. You had two outs. You're able to get outs. Go finish the deal. Like, we're not letting the players off the hook on this one. There's 59 games to go. Now, if you're one of those guys that's been living and dying on every pitch since March, now you can live and die on every pitch since March. Every game from this point on matters, and it matters in a big way. With 59 of them to go, it's time to start stacking some wins. It's time to start taking care of business. You had those two, you know, turds against the Diamondbacks. Day off, regroup, and get after the Chicago Cubs beginning tomorrow night.
Because you know what Cleveland just did? Took 2 out of 3 from Philly. The
which is unbelievable,
which,
man.
Is good for
Philly
them.
Is unbelievable. And for Cleveland to do that is crazy, bro. Crazy.
So both of you would vote for leadoff hitter.
I vote leadoff hitter because you would too, Bob. I don't think it's an insanely – I think it's more of a need right now than it is a bullpen because I think you have Hunter Harvey, which you've already went and
got. You got him.
Yeah. It's weird that we haven't used him a lot.
Well, I mean,
right?
He just arrived on Friday. It's only been a couple of days, and so they kind of want to work him in and see what he could do. And you've had guys that have been here all along. You give those guys an opportunity until they show you they can't do that opportunity, and then you put the new guy in there, right? Like, that's how it should work everywhere, quite honestly. But I think right now, with what we're looking at with this bullpen, you're going to give your guys that opportunity. If they don't get the job done, hey, we got Hunter Harvey here. He can come in, and he can be the closer for us, or maybe Chris Bubich can be that guy. But again, with Bubich coming back from injury, how much stress, both situational stress and athletic stress, right, do you want to put on him in these type of situations? But the beauty of it is right now, as we get closer and closer to the playoffs, maybe you start to look at shortening your rotation to a 4-man rotation. Maybe Alec Marsh can be one of those bullpen guys that you can count on, you know, maybe later in games. If you don't see him as an effective starter late in the season, maybe you move him to the bullpen and, you know, you figure it out from a fifth starter perspective, or maybe you just go with the four guys that got you there and say, hey guys, I know Lugo, you're up against innings, but hey, we got games that we need to win and you four give us the best opportunity to do that. Or like I talked about the other day, you go out and you sign Trevor Bauer and you say the hell with what the reaction is going to be. You dodge it for a day or so and you get Trevor Bauer and you put him in your bullpen and he gives you that opportunity to close out games, because I think he could be a difference maker as well.
Still standing high on that hill, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and right now, looking at your Twitter, Bob, and you should go vote right now if you're listening at Bob Fesco on Twitter. If you could only add one for the rest of the season for the Royals, leadoff hitter or bullpen arm, right now 66% voting for bullpen.
Yeah, and I think that's because of what we saw last night. I think a lot of times we vote and we react to what we just witnessed. And last night we witnessed MacArthur not being very good in the bullpen, so people are going to say the bullpen. And I get that. That's your prerogative as well. And if they go out and acquire a bullpen arm and not a leadoff hitter, I'm not going to get upset about that. I love the fact that you're out there trying. You're out there trying to make your team better.
I'll address this really quick from the 913. They say it hit Bobby third or fourth, so Vinny and Salvi stop grinding double plays.
No,
I'm not touching
because
Bobby Witt.
There's two outs,
and I'm not touching Bobby Witt right now. You just stay where he's at. Let him be he's going to be the two hitter. Trout hits second in their lineup. Soto hits, I think, second in their lineup. So that's where you put that sort of guy. Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Former Kansas cornerback Aqib Talib is going to get Bob Fesco craving cigs again. You'll want to hear what he had to say on the other side. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In comes the pitch. Ground ball into right center field. That's a hit. Two runs are in. And here comes Perez representing the tying run.
Back into Fesco in the Morning. Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, Don, Bob Fesco.
Don Bob Fesco, huh?
Yeah, the Don.
The Don. Don Bob.
The Don Bob Fesco. See what I did there?
I like what you did there. That was funny. Made me laugh.
By the end of this, Royals take, I'm going to give you an offer you can't refuse.
Oh, all right. I'm interested. I'm listening.
I want you to hear me out here for a second.
All right.
Got the cat in my arms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last night, boy, this series was exhausting.
Yeah.
But we got to be real, okay? I got to be real with you. When we did this show on Monday, we started talking about games matter.
Right.
We talked about it on Friday. Games matter. They get a little bit more crucial along the way.
No doubt. We're getting less and less of them. We're under 60 now to go in the season, right?
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
But when you're watching the Royals game, your scoreboard watching Minnesota, Boston, and Cleveland.
Oh, hell yes. And the Yankees now, because they're starting to slip up a little bit, too.
They just got swept by the Mets.
They kind of factor into the wild card race. Yeah, so you're watching. Right. I'm watching Baltimore as well, seeing what they're doing as they continue to not play white-hot baseball right now. But, you know, I mean, they're playing better than the Yankees are, but that's kind of a jockey at the top. So, yeah, there's a couple of teams that you're kind of paying attention to right now. And I love that fact, Dusty. I love the fact that I'm watching the Royals game and checking in on what everybody else is doing as well, because I think that that's what makes sports and baseball at this point in time fun. We haven't been able to do that in a decade.
Right. And I think that, you know, we're all kind of in the same boat here, or the same Royal Caribbean cruise at AWOL Nation. Shout out is not sailing perfectly after that first game where you thought, okay, they've won four in a row. They've been fired up. They've been thrown at their MVP. Manager gets ejected. How do they react?
Mm-hmm.
Arizona is a playoff team. They're defending National League champions. And you drop back-to-back games. And not something you necessarily like to see. Alec Marsh obviously was a little schizophrenic the way he was pitching. Struck out four in a row at one point. Gave up a three-run home. I don't know. Either way. Mm-hmm. Wasn't his best. Michael Wacha comes out last night. You're like, okay, here we go. And kind of from the jump, it looked like Waka just didn't have it.
Right.
I know there's that definition of it with pitchers. Like they did, or
he
the kind stuff, of
settled in, and you know, you had an opportunity to win the game.
And then the wheels sort of came off in the ninth inning.
Right.
And this is where you're always going to have your most criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Is can your guy go out there and hold it down?
Right.
And last night, MacArthur was everything but that.
Everything but that last night. And those are the things, Dusty, that kind of drive me nuts in baseball. Like, I'm willing to give, you know, the benefit of the doubt and the free pass here, and it's regular season baseball there. Mm-hmm. But nothing in baseball bothers me more than when your team puts together eight great innings and the guy that's responsible to get the last three outs is unable to do that, because that's demoralizing for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. The Royals were winning that game up until the ninth inning. They fought back in that game. They were down, you know, 3-1 early, mm-hmm. you know, in that game. And they fought back. They were able to take the lead. They were doing some good things. Isbel with a big hit, you know, kind of, you know, opening it up and then coming home on the wild pitch or pass ball. However, they scored that and they got a 4-3 lead. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, I feel really good about this. And to play really good for eight innings and have that lead and then go to the ninth and getting, they always say the last three outs are the hardest to get. But those are the type of games for me that are more demoralizing. You lose a game 10-4 and it's out of hand, fine, whatever. You hide that and you move on to the next one. Losing a game like that, those are always the toughest ones to recover from. And now with them having an off day today, you got to noodle on that one until you get back to the ballpark on Friday to take on the Chicago Cubs. And now the importance of sweeping a bad Chicago baseball team really, really, really matters, because you lost 2 out of 3 to the Diamondbacks. And like you said, we're under 60 games to go in the season, dude. All of these games now matter. You're not getting another one. So each game that you don't take advantage of is one less opportunity that you get to take advantage of. And blowing that game last night, that's one that sucks for me. Like, I'll be honest with you, that's not going to sit well for me for the next 24 hours until we get back out there against the Cubs. That was a bad loss last night for the Royals.
Right. And look, I understand there was the strike him out, throw him out, double play that, you know, got missed.
Right.
Okay. But you can't let that derail you.
No, you can't.
I understand that's a huge momentum shift, and I understand how that works in sports, but as a closer, you've got to be stone cold, rock hard plums.
Right, right.
And my offer to you is, because we've seen it already with Will Smith's role, let's, you know, whatever. Try somebody else. He went to Q's office, said, it ain't me, man. Like, let's, and he brought up the other yesterday thing. He's like, Will Smith does a lot of things that a lot of people don't know. That's just magic in the clubhouse.
Right, exactly.
And
he's kind of the Jeremy Guthrie of this team. Remember back in, what was it, 14 or 15 when Guthrie wasn't pitching well and fans wanted to cut Guthrie. And I remember talking to a member of the organization at that time. And I said, fans want to cut Guthrie. They said, okay, you go tell him that he's cut. And then you address the team. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? They go, you don't understand the impact that Jeremy Guthrie has on this clubhouse. It's a living, breathing organism down there. And you remove one piece of that, and it has a disruption factor that will cause shockwaves and ruin people's, you know, kind of mental state and all. As we get more and more about mental health, we understand how certain players and certain people provide certain things that you need. And so Will Smith, to me, is in that category. You may not like what he did at the beginning part of the season, but nobody's doubting that that's a leader that's kind of a glue guy that holds all this kind of stuff together inside that locker room.
And this wasn't the first time that we've seen MacArthur kind of come in and not really give you that feeling. And I still don't have that feeling. I know he had this the two saves in one day, first time since Greg Holland did it in 2013. Great name to be compared with.
Right.
But we look at the pitching lines, and somebody on the text line says Waka was fine. I mean, it was not a great start. He had 4 2/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, 3 earned, 1 strikeout, no walks.
That's okay. It kept you in a game.
It's average, if not a little bit below. But Zerpa, no hits. Long, no hits. Hunter Harvey, no hits.
Right.
No runs. No nothing. One strikeout between all of them. Enters MacArthur. 4 hits, 5 runs, 5 earned. Not good.
Not good.
And my offer to you is, you went and got Hunter Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want to put him in the mix, see if it works out, make sure the chemistry with the bullpen and the situation is fine. Or do you do what I've been advocating for since he came off the injured list? Why don't we try Chris Bubich? I feel like he's got a little bit more stuff, if we're giving pitchers the terminology. He's been in high leverage situations. And here's the other backside of it. We know that he's on a pitch count. We know that he's on an innings limit because they want to ease him into the role. Well, if he's only got to pitch one inning and you hope it's less than 12 pitches or 15 pitches, that's a perfect role for Bubic.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe when you get to these situations, room for error is minute.
Right.
And this sort of stuff can happen if you do want to win the division, because you went from four games out to six.
Yeah.
Now, let's paint with a little bit more brighter colors here. You're still in the third spot for the wild card. You have a game lead over Boston.
Right.
You're only one behind Minnesota in the division. You're only one behind Minnesota in the wild card, the second spot.
Mm-hmm.
So not severely wounded.
No, not at all.
But this is a bad nightmare. And this can give you sort of the feeling like, do you have the trust if you have a one-run lead in a game that you must have to MacArthur? And I think if you polled everybody, you would find out it's probably 50-50. I think there's some people that would still believe in MacArthur being your guy in the ninth. But you're at a situation where you're already on house money, but you want to be a playoff team.
Right.
Why don't you try to get it right and throw somebody out there like Bubic in the ninth to see how he reacts? Because again, I go back, he's on an innings limit. Mm-hmm. He's on a pitch clock. They're not going to use him a whole lot, but if they use him for one inning and one inning only, and he can be that guy who I think does have closer type stuff, because we've seen it with Wade Davis. Now, Bubic was a great starter, got injured, and maybe that next year he comes back and does it.
Right.
But you remember when Zach Greinke was a closer and they're like, hey, get your mind right. You're on an inning. Just try to throw one inning. Then he became a starter again. I'm not saying that this is the end of Bubic's starting role, but maybe see what he can do in a high leverage situation. Give MacArthur a couple days. And then when you play the Cubs on Friday and the game's 3-1 in the ninth, here comes Chris Bubic. And what happens if he mows him down?
Yeah, then you got yourself maybe another guy that you could look at in that closer role. The beauty and the whatever the ugly would be is that you don't really truly have a closer on this team. I think Hunter Harvey, with what you gave up to go acquire him, and that's the guy that you identified, probably should slide over into that role. He may be your most reliable reliever right now, you know, on this roster, and the most reliable guy should be the guy that's closing out games. I think what you're going to hear from the Royals, and I look, I've been around a long enough time to know what they're going to say. They're going to want to get MacArthur back out there as soon as they possibly can to get that guy success, because they're going to tell you they're going to need MacArthur down the stretch. And I guarantee you, in the last 59, 58 games, whatever's left on the schedule, we're going to need James MacArthur to come up big for this organization. So they're going to get him back out there and get him success as soon as they possibly can. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't try different things in the ninth inning as well. Maybe you do try Chris Bubic. Maybe you do try Harvey. Maybe you do decide to go out there and make a trade in the next, I don't know, 6 days or so to acquire another arm in the back of the bullpen. But you know, what it all boils down to is guys eventually have to go out there and do their job. And MacArthur didn't do his job last night. And so they've got to find a way to not lose games like that in the ninth inning. Because when your team fights for eight innings and scratches back and claws back and fights back, and you overcame a mid-pitching performance, you know, by Waka last night, you've got to find a way to win that game, and your closer can't blow that game, because that is a demoralizing loss. And I know, because of Q's, you know, the way that he operates and his even keelness and all that, it's not going to have a huge effect on this team going forward, but it makes the it speeds up the importance now of the rest of the season, because that was a game you should have had last night. And when you have those games that you should have had, it's hard to kind of make those up. So they got to take care of business now against the White Sox, or against the Cubs, and then you get the White Sox. So you've got six games coming up against the bottom feeders of the world. You've got to go out there and take care of business. 5 of 6 at worst, I think, against the Chicago teams coming up.
610 Sports Radio, KCSB, Kansas City, WDAF, HD2, Liberty, and Odyssey Station.
I put a poll on Twitter this morning, and I want to get, you know, the text line can weigh in, or just go to Twitter and vote at Bob Fesco on Twitter. If you could only make one move right now for this organization, and you could acquire either a leadoff hitter or a bullpen arm, what are you adding? Right now, Dusty, 67.8% of the votes say bullpen arm for this organization, and it's probably one of those, like, in the moment, like, oh my God, we need to add a bullpen arm because of what we saw last night. But I don't know how many times I sit there in the first inning and go, boy, like that shortstop last night for Arizona on the first, you know, play of the game, essentially saved a run. Mm-hmm. That it was going to be 1-0 if our leadoff hitter gets on, right? Arizona shortstop makes a nice play, saves the play, And you got Bobby Witt coming up. Odds are he's going to drive in whoever that leadoff hitter is
right.
for this organization. And so I look at it, and I go, yeah, they need some help in the bullpen right now, but how different is that game if the leadoff hitter gets on? Because you have Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi coming up, and if you get the leadoff hitter on, whomever it is, you've got yourself a great opportunity to take an early 1-0 lead. And behind what this pitching staff has done for the better part of the season, having a nice 1-0 lead is pretty special. Or you could even make it even bigger than 1-0 lead. Leadoff hitter gets on, steals second. Bobby singles, leadoff hitter scores. Bobby steals second. You got a guy on second, a 1-0 lead. You're four pitches in and there's still nobody out. Like, that's how this team kind of works right now. And so I think it's imperative to get somebody that can consistently get on base ahead of Bobby Witt.
There's a lot of things that come with, and I'm team leadoff hitter. You know, I want, because again, the bullpen wasn't bad last night. Again,
right.
We read you the numbers, like Zerpa and Harvey and the other one I can't think of right now, but they didn't give up a hit. They didn't give up a run. It was MacArthur that blew it in the ninth. And even if he doesn't give up the five runs, if he gives up three and
right.
blows the save, the Royals win because they rallied in the ninth. Mm-hmm. They really did. And that's the thing is like, but the problem is there's two different reasons why I want a leadoff hitter. One is that you nailed it on the head, which is Bobby Witt Jr. again goes 3-for-4 last
right.
night. The guy's on a different world now, hitting 344.
344, brother. 344.
Let me remind you, it is July 25th.
And he also had a walk involved last yeah. night. So he was on base four times last night.
The guy's just, I mean, even Henry Lake texts me, he goes, dude, this guy's insane. I said, he's in another world. He's an alien. And that's one key point. The other key point is, what is your strongest attribute right now? Starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into the top of the second, and let's say the leadoff hitter gets on more often than they are right now with Frazier, Hampson, or Garcia, whoever,
right,
they
whoever
keep
it is.
Out there.
Yeah.
A lot of people are rooting for the quiet hero and Kyle Isbell
to be the leadoff hitter. Yeah. Why not try it, though? Why not, right?
At this point, anything works.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it being one out. Bobby Witt Jr. comes up, hits a double.
Right.
Even if he doesn't knock the guy in. Pasquantino last night, 3-for-4. I don't mm-hmm. know if you guys have been watching Royals baseball. I'm sure a lot of you have. Vinny Pasquantino's heating up.
He's now, about 260 now. He's hitting 258. He was in the 240s a couple of days ago. He is really heating up right now.
If I can be a tiny bit critical, I'd like to see the power numbers go up, maybe
sure.
lift the ball a little bit more, but hey, get your swing back, which he's doing, and he's starting to hit. So even if Bobby Witt Jr. gets a hit, knocks the guy to third, Bobby's on first, and we have first and third, you have Vinny up.
Vinny's up.
I like the possibilities of having a 1-0 lead going into the top of the second, and then you get to be like, okay, Cole, or okay, Seth, or Brady, or Michael, or even Alec. Now you've got at least a one-run lead
right.
going into the second inning. The show is yours, and your strongest part is your starting pitching, and if you can give them more oftentimes a lead than not, instead of what we've seen a lot this year, guy in leadoff spot gets out. Bobby Witt Jr. hits a double. Then it's like, what happens next? Now, the other thing that killed him last night, Sal Perez, first two at-bats, grounds out.
Yeah,
to the
grounds
double
out in the double play both times. That stunk.
That sucks,
yeah, that's
right?
hard, right? But you got to have your veteran guy come through in those moments, but I'm right. not going to sit here and criticize Salvi, right?
Yeah, but that's ipso facto.
Right.
You still had a chance to win that game. I get it. It was MacArthur, but you have guys that I think you could put in that role. You went and got Hunter Harvey. You got Chris Bubich.
Mm-hmm.
Let one of those guys become your closer or your holder, right? Let that be your 8-9.
Right.
I trust in those guys, at least right now. Small sample size in the bullpen for Bubich, but I've seen him in two high leverage situations where I trust that. It's the leadoff hitter. Set the table.
Yeah, you got to set the table right
set
now.
The event
yeah. What about Massey as your leadoff hitter? Like, I really like Michael Massey, right?
Yeah.
He's hitting close to 260 as well. You know, he gets on base a lot. I feel like Michael Massey for me is one of those guys, and Ryan was describing him more as a glue guy last night as well. But I feel like every time I see Michael Massey, he's doing something productive to help the team, right?
Mm.
Whether it's going out there and making a play, or whether it's getting on base or driving in a run, like
yeah.
he's got great control of his bat. He's a major league hitter. Why not move him to the top of the lineup? Because I think it is, and we'll talk more about it as we kind of roll along this morning about going out and acquiring somebody. As the days tick off, it's going to be more and more difficult to go out there and find somebody to trade with because the asking price and the acquisition price is going to be very high. Now, for me, I don't care what the acquisition price is. We talked about it yesterday in the 499 players that were traded since 2015 that were minor leaguers, 6.1% became all-stars or close to all-stars for those trade deadline deals. I'm trading anybody in this organization right now in the minor leagues. I really don't care because you want to win at the big league level. But organizations don't think that way, right?
Right.
They're Blake Mitchell Mitchell's not getting traded, right? Like
you number one prospect.
Right. But yeah. And they feel like he can take over for Salvi sooner rather than later behind the plate
young
if they ever need
too.
To. Yeah. So like a guy like that, they're probably not going to trade. But for me, I'm just not a buyer in prospects, especially when you see the numbers, according to Baseball America, 6.1% of the 499 traded became all-stars or close to all-stars in the big leagues. It's not worth it keeping your prospects. So maybe you do, quote-unquote, overpay in your mind of giving up prospects.
Yeah.
But if you can make your big league ball club better and get into the playoffs, doesn't that cure everything? Because at the end of the day, we don't remember prospects. Nobody remembers the prospects. You remember winning championships and having success. And that's what your minor league system is for. If you have a minor league system, it's either to graduate some players to the big leagues or hype your guys up and foist them on another organization for a proven major leaguer.
And look, I'm all about, you know, giving Kyle Isbell a try at that leadoff spot. But at some point, you have to be done trying and start doing.
Sure.
Because you're under, what, close to under 60 games left in the season. You're still a wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lose faith in that. Don't lose hope in that. You're done it all year. You're, again, you're on house money from the town.
Right.
You wanted to be competitive until the end of July. We've got, what, 6 days till the end of July? You're still there. It's not like the end of the world, but it's things like these in games that measure up to this sort of level where what leaves a bad taste in my mouth is that they came out here, they tried to throw at your best player in the first game, caused a scuffle at home plate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they're going to come back the next night. The bats just weren't there.
Right.
Maybe there was a little bit of a hangover. Then the third game, last night, you're up.
You had the game won.
Here's your guy.
Had the game won.
Yeah, the call didn't go your way. Hate to be this guy. Sometimes they don't.
I'm not a blame ref, blame umpire type of guy. There are other opportunities for you to win games.
Right.
And if you're going to blame the umpire for the call last night, how about blaming Salvador Perez for grounding into two inning ending double plays to start the game, right? There's always something on the field that happens that I can turn to and look at. We want to blame the umpire. Just get the outs, man. You had two outs. You're able to get outs. Go finish the deal. Like, we're not letting the players off the hook on this one. There's 59 games to go. Now, if you're one of those guys that's been living and dying on every pitch since March, now you can live and die on every pitch since March. Every game from this point on matters, and it matters in a big way. With 59 of them to go, it's time to start stacking some wins. It's time to start taking care of business. You had those two, you know, turds against the Diamondbacks. Day off, regroup, and get after the Chicago Cubs beginning tomorrow night.
Because you know what Cleveland just did? Took 2 out of 3 from Philly.
Which is unbelievable,
which,
man.
Good for
Philly
them.
Is unbelievable. And for Cleveland to do that is crazy, bro. Crazy.
So both of you would vote for leadoff hitter.
I think it's more of a need right now than it is a bullpen because I think you have Hunter Harvey, which you've already went and
you got him. Yeah.
It's weird that we haven't used him a lot.
Well, I mean, he just arrived on Friday. It's only been a couple of days, and so they kind of want to work him in and see what he could do. And you've had guys that have been here all along. You give those guys
that's
an
fair
opportunity until they show you they can't do that opportunity, and then you put the new guy in there, right? Like, that's how it should work everywhere, quite honestly. But I think right now, with what we're looking at with this bullpen, you're going to give your guys that opportunity. If they don't get the job done, hey, we got Hunter Harvey here. He can come in, and he can be the closer for us, or maybe Chris Bubich can be that guy. But again, with Bubich coming back from injury, how much stress, both situational stress and athletic stress,
right,
do you want to put on him in these type of situations? But the beauty of it is right now, as we get closer and closer to the playoffs, maybe you start to look at shortening your rotation to a 4-man rotation. Maybe Alec Marsh can be one of those bullpen guys that you can count on, you know, maybe later in games. If you don't see him as an effective starter late in the season, maybe you move him to the bullpen and, you know, you figure it out from a fifth starter perspective, or maybe you just go with the four guys that got you there and say, hey guys, I know Lugo, you're up against innings, but hey, we got games that we need to win and you four give us the best opportunity to do that. Or like I talked about the other day, you go out and you sign Trevor Bauer and you say the hell with what the reaction is going to be. You dodge it for a day or so and you get Trevor Bauer and you put him in your bullpen and he gives you that opportunity to close out games, because I think he could be a difference maker as well.
Still standing high on that hill, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and right now, looking at your Twitter, Bob, and you should go vote right now if you're listening at Bob Fesco on Twitter. If you could only add one for the rest of the season for the Royals, leadoff hitter or bullpen arm. Right now, 66% voting for bullpen.
Yeah, and I think that's because of what we saw last night. I think a lot of times we vote and we react to what we just witnessed. And last night, we witnessed MacArthur not being very good in the bullpen, so people are going to say the bullpen. And I get that. That's your prerogative as well. And if they go out and acquire a bullpen arm and not a leadoff hitter, I'm not going to get upset about that. I love the fact that you're out there trying. You're out there trying to make your team better.
I'll address this really quick from the 913. They say it hit Bobby third or fourth, so Vinny and Salvi stop grinding double plays. No, I'm not touching Bobby Witt.
There's two outs.
And I'm not touching Bobby Witt right now. You just stay where he's at. Let him be he's gonna be the two hitter. Trout hits second in their lineup. Soto hits, I think, second in their lineup. So that's where you put that sort of guy. Fesco of the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Former Kansas cornerback Aqib Talib is going to get Bob Fesco craving cigs again. You'll want to hear what he had to say on the other side. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio.
In comes the pitch. Ground ball into right center field. That's a hit. Two runs are in. And here comes Perez representing the tying run.
Back into Fesco in the Morning. Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, Don Bob Fesco.
Huh?
Yeah, the Don.
Don Bob.
The Don Bob Fesco. See what I did there.
I like what you did there. That was funny. Made me laugh.
By the end of this Royals take, I'm going to give you an offer you can't refuse.
Oh, all right. I'm interested. I'm listening.
I want you to hear me out here for a second.
All right.
Got the cat in my arms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last night, boy, this series was exhausting.
Yeah.
But we got to be real. Okay. I got to be real with you. When we did this show on Monday, we started talking about games matter.
Right.
We talked about it on Friday. Games matter. They get a little bit more crucial along the way.
No doubt. We're getting less and less of them. We're under 60 now to go in the season, right?
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
But when you're watching the Royals game, your scoreboard watching Minnesota, Boston, and Cleveland.
Oh, hell yes. And the Yankees now, because they're starting to slip up a little bit, too.
Swept by the Mets.
They kind of factor into the wild card race. Yeah, so you're watching. Right. I'm watching Baltimore as well, seeing what they're doing as they continue to not play white-hot baseball right now. But, you know, I mean, they're playing better than the Yankees are, but that's kind of a jockey at the top. So, yeah, there's a couple of teams that you're kind of paying attention to right now. And I love that fact, Dusty. I love the fact that I'm watching the Royals game and checking in on what everybody else is doing as well, because I think that's what makes sports and baseball at this point in time fun. We haven't been able to do that in a decade.
Right. And I think that, you know, we're all kind of in the same boat here, or the same Royal Caribbean cruise at AWOL Nation shout out is not sailing perfectly after that first game where you thought, okay, they've won four in a row. They've been fired up. They've been thrown at their MVP. Manager gets ejected. How do they react?
Mm-hmm.
Arizona is a playoff team. They're defending National League champions. And you drop back-to-back games. And not something you necessarily like to see. Alec Marsh obviously was a little schizophrenic the way he was pitching. Struck out four in a row at one point. Gave up a three-run home run. Either way. Mm-hmm. Wasn't his best. Michael Wacha comes out last night. And you're like, okay, here we go. And kind of from the jump, it looked like Wacha just didn't have it.
Right.
I know there's that definition of it with pitchers. Like they did, or
he
kind of
settled in and, you know, you had an opportunity to win the game.
And then the wheels sort of came off in the ninth inning.
Right.
And this is where you're always going to have your most criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Is can your guy go out there and hold it down?
Right.
And last night, MacArthur was everything but that.
Everything but that last night. And those are the things, Dusty, that kind of drive me nuts in baseball. Like, I'm willing to give, you know, the benefit of the doubt and the free pass here, and it's regular season baseball there.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing in baseball bothers me more than when your team puts together eight great innings and the guy that's responsible to get the last three outs is unable to do that, because that's demoralizing for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. The Royals were winning that game up until the ninth inning. They fought back in that game. They were down, you know, 3-1 early, mm-hmm. you know, in that game. And they fought back. They were able to take the lead. They were doing some good things. Isbell with a big hit, you know, kind of, you know, opening it up and then coming home on the wild pitch or pass ball. However, they scored that and they got a 4-3 lead. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, I feel really good about this. And to play really good for 8 innings and have that lead and then go to the 9th and getting, they always say the last 3 outs are the hardest to get. But those are the type of games for me that are more demoralizing. You lose a game 10-4 and it's out of hand, fine, whatever. You hide that and you move on to the next one. Losing a game like that, those are always the toughest ones to recover from. And now with them having an off day today, you got to noodle on that one until you get back to the ballpark on Friday to take on the Chicago Cubs. And now the importance of sweeping a bad Chicago baseball team really, really, really matters because you lost 2 out of 3 to the Diamondbacks. And like you said, we're under 60 games to go in the season, dude. All of these games now matter. You're not getting another one. So each game that you don't take advantage of is one less opportunity that you get to take advantage of. And blowing that game last night, that's one that sucks for me. Like, I'll be honest with you, that's not going to sit well for me for the next 24 hours until we get back out there against the Cubs. That was a bad loss last night for the Royals.
Right. And look, I understand there was the strike him out, throw him out, double play that, you know, got missed.
Right.
Okay, but you can't let that derail you.
No, you can't.
I understand that's a huge momentum shift, and I understand how that works in sports, but as a closer, you've got to be stone cold, rock hard plums.
Right, right.
And my offer to you is, because we've seen it already with Will Smith's role, let's, you know, whatever. Try somebody else. He went to Q's office, said, it ain't me, man. Like, let's, and he brought up the other yesterday thing. He's like, Will Smith does a lot of things that a lot of people don't know that's just magic in the clubhouse.
Right, exactly.
And
he's kind of the Jeremy Guthrie of this team. Remember back in, what was it, 14 or 15 when Guthrie wasn't pitching well and fans wanted to cut Guthrie. And I remember talking to a member of the organization at that time and I said, fans want to cut Guthrie. They said, okay, you go tell him that he's cut. And then you address the team. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? They go, you don't understand the impact that Jeremy Guthrie has on this clubhouse. It's a living, breathing organism down there. And you remove one piece of that and it has a disruption factor that will cause shockwaves and ruin people's, you know, kind of mental state and all. As we get more and more about mental health, we understand how certain players and certain people provide certain things that you need. And so Will Smith, to me, is in that category. You may not like what he did at the beginning part of the season, but nobody's doubting that that's a leader that's kind of a glue guy that holds all this kind of stuff together inside that locker room.
And this wasn't the first time that we've seen MacArthur kind of come in and not really give you that feeling. And I still don't have that feeling. I know he had this the 2 saves in one day, first time since Greg Holland did it in 2013. Great name to be compared with.
Right.
But we look at the pitching lines, and somebody on the text line says, Waka was fine. I mean, it was not a great start. He had 4 2/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, 3 earned, 1 strikeout, no walks.
That's okay. It kept you in a game.
It's average, if not a little bit below. But Zerpa, no hits. Long, no hits. Hunter Harvey, no hits.
Right.
No runs. No nothing. One strikeout between all of them. Enters MacArthur. 4 hits, 5 runs, 5 earned. Not good.
Not good.
And my offer to you is, you went and got Hunter Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want to put him in the mix, see if it works out, make sure the chemistry with the bullpen and the situation is fine. Or do you do what I've been advocating for since he came off the injured list? Why don't we try Chris Bubich? I feel like he's got a little bit more stuff, if we're giving pitchers the terminology. He's been in high leverage situations, and here's the other backside of it. We know that he's on a pitch count. We know that he's on an innings limit because they want to ease him into the role. Well, if he's only got to pitch 1 inning, and you hope it's less than 12 pitches or 15 pitches, that's a perfect role for Bubich.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe when you get to these situations, room for error is minute.
Right.
And this sort of stuff can happen if you do want to win the division because you went from 4 games out to 6.
Yeah.
Now, let's paint with a little bit more brighter colors here. You're still in the 3rd spot for the wild card. You have a game lead over Boston.
Right.
You're only 1 behind Minnesota in the division. You're only 1 behind Minnesota in the wild card. The 2nd spot.
Mm-hmm.
So not severely wounded.
No, not at all.
But this is a bad nightmare. And this can give you sort of the feeling like, do you have the trust if you have a 1-run lead in a game that you must have to MacArthur? And I think if you polled everybody, you would find out it's probably 50-50. I think there's some people that would still believe in MacArthur being your guy in the ninth. But you're at a situation where you're already on house money, but you want to be a playoff team.
Right.
Why don't you try to get it right and throw somebody out there like Bubic in the ninth to see how he reacts? Because, again, I go back. He's on an innings limit. Mm-hmm. He's on a pitch clock. They're not going to use him a whole lot. But if they use him for one inning and one inning only, and he can be that guy who I think does have closer-type stuff, because we've seen it with Wade Davis. Now, Bubic was a great starter, got injured, and maybe that next year he comes back and does it.
Right.
But you remember when Zach Greinke was a closer? And they're like, hey, get your mind right. You're on an inning. Just try to throw one inning. Then he became a starter again. I'm not saying that this is the end of Bubic's starting role, but maybe see what he can do in a high-leverage situation. Give MacArthur a couple days, and then when you play the Cubs on Friday and the game's 3-1 in the ninth, here comes Chris Bubic. And what happens if he mows him down?
Yeah, then you got yourself maybe another guy that you could look at in that closer role. The beauty and the whatever the ugly would be is that you don't really truly have a closer on this team. I think Hunter Harvey, with what you gave up to go acquire him, and that's the guy that you identified, probably should slide over into that role. He may be your most reliable reliever right now, you know, on this roster. And the most reliable guy should be the guy that's closing out games. I think what you're going to hear from the Royals, and I've been around a long enough time to know what they're going to say. They're going to want to get MacArthur back out there as soon as they possibly can to get that guy success, because they're going to tell you they're going to need MacArthur down the stretch. And I guarantee you, in the last 59, 58 games, whatever's left on the schedule, we're going to need James MacArthur to come up big for this organization. So they're going to get him back out there and get him success as soon as they possibly can. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't try different things in the ninth inning as well. Maybe you do try Chris Bubic. Maybe you do try Harvey. Maybe you do decide to go out there and make a trade in the next, I don't know, 6 days or so to acquire another arm in the back of the bullpen. But you know, what it all boils down to is guys eventually have to go out there and do their job. And MacArthur didn't do his job last night. And so they've got to find a way to not lose games like that in the ninth inning. Because when your team fights for eight innings and scratches back and claws back and fights back, and you overcame a mid-pitching performance, you know, by Waka last night, You've got to find a way to win that game, and your closer can't blow that game, because that is a demoralizing loss. And I know, because of Q's, you know, the way that he operates and his even keelness and all that, it's not going to have a huge effect on this team going forward, but it makes it speeds up the importance now of the rest of the season, because that was a game you should have had last night. And when you have those games that you should have had, it's hard to kind of make those up. So they got to take care of business now against the White Sox, or against the Cubs, and then you get the White Sox. So you've got six games coming up against the bottom feeders of the world. You've got to go out there and take care of business. 5 of 6 at worst, I think, against the Chicago teams coming up.
610 Sports Radio, KCSB, Kansas City, WDA. HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Station.
I put a poll on Twitter this morning, and I want to get, you know, the text line can weigh in, or just go to Twitter and vote at Bob Fesco on Twitter. If you could only make one move right now for this organization, and you could acquire either a leadoff hitter or a bullpen arm, what are you adding? Right now, Dusty, 67.8% of the votes say bullpen arm for this organization, and it's probably one of those, like, in the moment, like, oh my God, we need to add a bullpen arm because of what we saw last night. But I don't know how many times I sit there in the first inning and go, boy, like that shortstop last night for Arizona on the first, you know, play of the game, essentially saved a run. Mm-hmm. That it was going to be 1-0 if our leadoff hitter gets on, right? Arizona shortstop makes a nice play, saves the play. And you got Bobby Witt coming up. Odds are he's going to drive in whoever that leadoff hitter is for this organization. And so I look at it, I go, yeah, they need some help in the bullpen right now, but how different is that game if the leadoff hitter gets on? Because you have Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi coming up. And if you get the leadoff hitter on, whomever it is, you've got yourself a great opportunity to take an early 1-0 lead. And behind what this pitching staff has done for the better part of the season, having a nice 1-0 lead is pretty special. Or you could even make it even bigger than 1-0 lead. Leadoff hitter gets on, steals second. Bobby singles, leadoff hitter scores. Bobby steals second. You got a guy on second, a 1-0 lead. You're 4 pitches in and there's still nobody out. Like, that's how this team kind of works right now. And so I think it's imperative to get somebody that can consistently get on base ahead of Bobby Witt.
There's a lot of things that come with, and I'm team leadoff hitter. You know, I want, because again, the bullpen wasn't bad last night. Again,
right.
We read you the numbers. Like, Zerpa and Harvey and the other one I can't think of right now, but they didn't give up a hit. They didn't give up a run. It was MacArthur that blew it in the ninth. And even if he doesn't give up the five runs, if he gives up three and right. blows a save, the Royals win because they rallied in the ninth. Mm-hmm. They really did. And that's the thing is like, but the problem is there's two different reasons why I want a leadoff hitter. One is that you nailed it on the head, which is Bobby Witt Jr. again goes 3-for-4 last night. The guy's on a different world now, hitting 344.
344, brother. 344.
Let me remind you, it is July 25th.
And he also had a walk involved last night. So he was on base four times last night.
The guy's just, I mean, even Henry Lake texted me, he goes, dude, this guy's insane. I said, he's in another world. He's an alien. And that's one key point. The other key point is, what is your strongest attribute right now? Starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into the top of the second, and let's say the leadoff hitter gets on more often than they are right now with Frazier or Hampson or Garcia, whoever it is. A lot of people are rooting for the quiet hero and Kyle Isbell.
Kyle Isbell to be the leadoff hitter. Why not try it, though? Why not, right?
At this point, anything works.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it being one out. Bobby Witt Jr. comes up, hits a double.
Right.
Even if he doesn't knock the guy in. Pasquantino last night, 3-for-4. I don't know if you guys have been watching Royals baseball. I'm sure a lot of you have. Vinny Pasquantino's heating up.
He's now, about 260 now. He's hitting 258. He was in the 240s a couple of days ago. He is really heating up right now.
If I can be a tiny bit critical, I'd like to see the power numbers go up, maybe lift the ball a little bit more. But hey, get your swing back, which he's doing, and he's starting to hit. So even if Bobby Witt Jr. gets a hit, knocks the guy to third, Bobby's on first, and we have first and third, you have Vinny up.
Vinny's up.
I like the possibilities of having a 1-0 lead going into the top of the second, and then you get to be like, okay, Cole, or okay, Seth, or Brady, or Michael, or even Alec. Now you've got at least a 1-run lead going into the second inning. The show is yours, and your strongest part is your starting pitching. And if you can give them more oftentimes a lead than not, instead of what we've seen a lot this year, guy in leadoff spot gets out, Bobby Witt Jr. hits a double. Then it's like, what happens next? Now, the other thing that killed him last night, Sal Perez, first two at-bats, grounds out.
Yeah, grounds out in the double play both times. That stunk. That sucks, yeah, that's hard, right? But you got to have your veteran guy come through in those moments. But I'm not going to sit here and criticize Salvi, right?
Yeah, but that's ipso facto.
Right.
You still had a chance to win that game. I get it. It was MacArthur. But you have guys that I think you could put in that role. You went and got Hunter Harvey. You've got Chris Bubich.
Mm-hmm.
Let one of those guys become your closer or your holder, right? Let that be your 8-9.
Right.
I trust in those guys, at least right now. Small sample size in the bullpen for Bubich, but I've seen him in two high leverage situations where I trust that. It's the leadoff hitter. Set the table.
Yeah, you got to set the table right now. What about Massey as your leadoff hitter? Like, I really like Michael Massey, right? Yeah. He's hitting close to 260 as well, you know? He gets on base a lot. I feel like Michael Massey, for me, is one of those guys, and Ryan was describing him more as a glue guy last night as well, but I feel like every time I see Michael Massey, he's doing something productive to help the team, right? Mm. Whether it's going out there and making a play, or whether it's getting on base or driving in a run, he's got great control of his bat. He's a major league hitter. Why not move him to the top of the lineup? Because I think it is, and we'll talk more about it as we kind of roll along this morning about going out and acquiring somebody. As the days tick off, it's going to be more and more difficult to go out there and find somebody to trade with because the asking price and the acquisition price is going to be very high. Now, for me, I don't care what the acquisition price is. We talked about it yesterday in the 499 players that were traded since 2015 that were minor leaguers, 6.1% became all-stars or close to all-stars for those trade deadline deals. I'm trading anybody in this organization right now in the minor leagues. I really don't care because you want to win at the big league level. But organizations don't think that way, right?
Right.
Blake Mitchell's not getting traded, right? Like you
number one prospect,
right? But and they feel like he can take over for Salvi sooner rather than later behind the plate if they ever need to. Yeah, so like a guy like that, they're probably not going to trade. But for me, I'm just not a buyer in prospects, especially when you see the numbers according to Baseball America. 6.1% of the 499 traded became all stars or close to all stars in the big leagues. It's not worth it keeping your prospects. So maybe you do, quote unquote, overpay in your mind of giving up prospects.
Yeah.
But if you can make your big league ball club better and get into the playoffs, doesn't that cure everything? Because at the end of the day, we don't remember prospects. Nobody remembers the prospects. You remember winning championships and having success. And that's what your minor league system is for. If you have a minor league system, it's either to graduate some players to the big leagues or hype your guys up and foist them on another organization for a proven major leaguer.
And look, I'm all about, you know, giving Kyle Isbell a try at that leadoff spot. But at some point, you have to be done trying and start doing.
Sure.
Because you're under, close to under 60 games left in the season. You're still a wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lose faith in that. Don't lose hope in that. You've done it all year. You're, again, you're on house money from the town.
Right.
You wanted to be competitive until the end of July. We've got, what, 6 days till the end of July? You're still there. It's not like the end of the world, but it's things like these in games that measure up to this sort of level where what leaves a bad taste in my mouth is that they came out here, they tried to throw at your best player in the first game, caused a scuffle at home plate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they're going to come back the next night. The bats just weren't there.
Right.
Maybe there was a little bit of a hangover. Then the third game, last night, you're up.
You had the game won.
Here's your guy.
Had the game won.
Yeah, the call didn't go your way. Hate to be this guy. Sometimes they don't.
I'm not a blame ref, blame umpire type of guy. There are other opportunities for you to win games. Right. And if you're going to blame the umpire for the call last night, how about blaming Salvador Perez for grounding into two inning ending double plays to start the game, right? There's always something on the field that happens that I can turn to and look at. We want to blame the umpire. Just get the outs, man. You had two outs. You're able to get outs. Go finish the deal. Like, we're not letting the players off the hook on this one. There's 59 games to go. Now, if you're one of those guys that's been living and dying on every pitch since March, now you can live and die on every pitch since March. Every game from this point on matters, and it matters in a big way. With 59 of them to go, it's time to start stacking some wins. It's time to start taking care of business. You had those two, you know, turds against the Diamondbacks. Day off, regroup, and get after the Chicago Cubs beginning tomorrow night.
Because you know what Cleveland just did? Took 2 out of 3 from Philly. The
which is unbelievable,
which,
man.
Is good for
Philly
them.
Is unbelievable. And for Cleveland to do that is crazy, bro. Crazy.
So both of you would vote for leadoff hitter.
I don't think it's an insanely – I think it's more of a need right now than it is a bullpen because I think you have Hunter Harvey, which you've already went and
got. You got him.
Yeah. It's weird that we haven't used him a lot.
Well, I mean,
right?
He just arrived on Friday. It's only been a couple of days, and so they kind of want to work him in and see what he could do. And you've had guys that have been here all along. You give those guys an opportunity until they show you they can't do that opportunity, and then you put the new guy in there, right? Like, that's how it should work everywhere, quite honestly. But I think right now, with what we're looking at with this bullpen, you're going to give your guys that opportunity. If they don't get the job done, hey, we got Hunter Harvey here. He can come in, and he can be the closer for us, or maybe Chris Bubich can be that guy. But again, with Bubich coming back from injury, how much stress, both situational stress and athletic stress, right, do you want to put on him in these type of situations? But the beauty of it is right now, as we get closer and closer to the playoffs, maybe you start to look at shortening your rotation to a 4-man rotation. Maybe Alec Marsh can be one of those bullpen guys that you can count on, you know, maybe later in games. If you don't see him as an effective starter late in the season, maybe you move him to the bullpen and, you know, you figure it out from a fifth starter perspective, or maybe you just go with the four guys that got you there and say, hey guys, I know Lugo, you're up against innings, but hey, we got games that we need to win, and you four give us the best opportunity to do that. Or like I talked about the other day, you go out and you sign Trevor Bauer and you say the hell with what the reaction is going to be. You dodge it for a day or so and you get Trevor Bauer and you put him in your bullpen and he gives you that opportunity to close out games, because I think he could be a difference maker as well.
Still standing high on that hill, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and right now, looking at your Twitter, Bob, and you should go vote right now if you're listening at Bob Fesco on Twitter. If you could only add one for the rest of the season for the Royals, leadoff hitter or bullpen arm, right now, 66% voting for bullpen.
Yeah, and I think that's because of what we saw last night. I think a lot of times we vote and we react to what we just witnessed. And last night we witnessed MacArthur not being very good in the bullpen, so people are going to say the bullpen. And I get that. That's your prerogative as well. And if they go out and acquire a bullpen arm and not a leadoff hitter, I'm not going to get upset about that. I love the fact that you're out there trying. You're out there trying to make your team better.
I'll address this really quick from the 913. They say it hit Bobby third or fourth, so Vinny and Salvi stop grinding double plays.
No,
I'm not touching
because
Bobby Witt.
There's two outs,
and I'm not touching Bobby Witt right now. You just stay where he's at. Let him be he's going to be the two hitter. Trout hits second in their lineup. Soto hits, I think, second in their lineup. So that's where you put that sort of guy. Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Former Kansas cornerback Aqib Talib is going to get Bob Fesco craving cigs again. You'll want to hear what he had to say on the other side. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.